asylum. For a terrifying new tale of fear, lust, and insanity.
Live at AsylumFantasyFootball.com, it's the Tuesday Night Blitz.
Welcome into the Asylum. We're Flieger and Briggs. Drop us a line at AsylumFootball@gmail.com.
On the tweeters, at AsylumFootball.
Yes, indeed. And all you locals, 88.1 FM, WSRU, the voice of the rock.
Oh, Rick, here we go again. Just not a whole lot going on. I'm not into it tonight,
Rick. It is
Rick.
Football season.
Football.
I mean, the rests are actually going down a little bit. Yeah, you know, there's not as much blotter fodder, and
well, there's a few though,
a little
some
bit.
Good ones we're going to get to later. But I got to tell you, Rick,
but we've
got some
really interesting facts.
I'll be the judge of that.
I've got a story that even you will really appreciate.
I don't know. I don't appreciate much, but I got to tell you, Rick. Before we get started, here's why I'm not in a good mood today.
I don't care.
I know you don't care, but you're going to have to carry the show. So I'm on my way.
I do anyway.
As where all bad things happen to me on my way here to the Cozy Bunker studio. Now, this is nothing that happened to me, but I'm just going to ask you, Rick. Have you seen these dinkuses out running around in the heat of summer? Now, I know it's not 90 degrees yet. It's probably, 75 degrees here in western Pennsylvania
right now.
Beautiful weather. And these jerks walking around in their winter stocking caps in the dead of summer, it annoys the hell out of me, Rick. And I'm behind them. I'm in the same establishment where the great skullduggery with my dinner took place, the great urinal incident happened, where lots of bad things happened to me. I was there, and I'm behind this kid, probably in his 20s, I don't know, a hipster kind of guy in his skinny jeans, and he's got a stocking cap on. It's 75. It's June, for Christ's sakes. And I just want to talk to two people here. First of all you guys in the stocking caps in the winter, you're not cool, you're not trendy, you're not hip, you're a jerk. So number one, stop that. And ladies, we probably don't have any ladies listening. So, Rick, maybe after the show, I saw your daughter on the way into the studio. Let her know, don't date the guy in the stocking cap in June. There is a man you're going to have to take care of for the rest of your natural life. So I just had to get that out. I don't know. What do these guys' heads have to smell like come about mid-August wearing this stupid winter hat all the time?
Are you done?
Yeah, I feel better. it really stuck in my car. I've had a rough day. I can't eat garlic bread anymore. You don't even want to know that story. It's not for the air. It's just been an awful day. So, Rick, you take over. I don't know what the hell's going on.
I can't wait to get off the air because I have to hear the garlic bread story.
Yeah, I definitely can't. The centers at WSRU will not allow me to tell this story.
Somehow I will get a twist on it where we can relay this publicly.
I don't think we can. I really don't, Rick. It's horrible. So I don't know. What are we going to do tonight? There's lots of headlines. We've got the police blotter. Some fantastic stuff on the police blotter tonight. And then definitely to keep it at fantasy football, we've got some two drafts going on, the Help Maddie League we talked about last week, Rick. Is it finished up yet, or it's getting pretty near completion?
Yeah, it's down to kicker and defense drafting. Yeah. There's only last two picks.
Yeah, so I want to talk about it. We talked about the trends in the first four or five rounds last week, see where the trends go middle rounds. And we started a new one with our boys over at the Beast House crew. I believe it's fantasybeasthouse.com is their website if you want to check it out. Good stuff. Go there, and we're through only about partway through the third round, but want to look at those early round trends again, and the running back trend continues, which is what I want to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things to look at, and the other league that we're in, you said that the Beast House win, it's only I think the third round when they
early in the third round, but the trends seem to continue, and that's what I'm interested in. So, Rick, let's talk about some headlines. I know we said probably four times already this offseason. We're done beating this dead horse. But Tim Tebow signs with the Patriots yesterday, shows up at minicamp today. Rick, what of it? What do you think about it?
He signed with the Patriots. I mean, Belichick will probably find some sort of package for him. I'm sorry. It's not that thrilling. I mean, he may have a use. I mean, obviously, he's a great athlete. We all know this. And we'll go back to my saying from a couple weeks ago, we beat this dead horse to death. He's a great athlete. He's a below-average quarterback at best. And he's a good football player. Belichick will get what out of him he can, and he'll have a use on that team if they so desire. If he keeps his head and shows a desire, which I'm sure he will. And other than that, it's not that big of a thrill to me. I mean, big deal.
Well, here's what I find interesting, Rick. I know you don't, and I get that. That's fine. However, number one, it's a big story. He's Tim Tebow. Going in, obviously, he's not going to be pushing Tom Brady for any time. So you don't have the Mark Sanchez drama you had. The Patriots have come out and said, number one, I found the contract interesting. It was a two-year deal, league minimum, veteran minimum.
Nothing guaranteed.
Nothing guaranteed. There's a few incentives based solely on playing time in 2014. So there's not even any incentives in this upcoming season. I also find it interesting that they did come out and say they're working him out only as a quarterback. There are no plans to work him into the lineup as a tight end, as a running back, some of the things you think. That's what I think is garbage. The thing with Tim Tebow, we've talked about it over and over again, he's a way below average quarterback. He really is. A way above average, a superior athlete, number one, and a great football player. He got this far as a quarterback being a bad quarterback. That tells you just how good of a football player this kid is. If anybody can make some use of him, and this isn't an argument for fantasy football, some dick in your draft in the last round who took his quarterback in the or his kicker in the eighth round, excuse me, is going to draft him, and he's going to chuckle and thump himself on the chest. But I'm telling you, isn't this the kind of guy like Mike Vrabel catching more touchdown passes than half the tight ends in the NFL a few years ago? I don't buy it. Belichick's going to work him into this offense, and as good an athlete and football player as he is, I think he makes an impact on that team.
Oh, I think maybe he'll, you know, make some sort of impact, yeah. But and probably in the capacity that you're saying, I don't think that, number one, I don't believe what they say he's only going to work out as a quarterback. New England's not going to sit here and tell you what they're going to do with him. I can promise you Belichick is going to keep that under the cuff there.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah, he's definitely not going to tip his hand now. That's who Bill Belichick is.
Right. So
I just find it intriguing. I can see it. You know, we've seen Mike Vrabel. We've seen Danny Woodhead, what he did over a stretch of games.
Yeah.
You give Bill Belichick an athlete and a football player of this caliber,
right,
and that's the argument. I will never argue that he's even a legitimate NFL quarterback, but he's probably, at least in terms of college football, one of the best football players, pure football players I've seen in a long time. And I just find it intriguing. And to dismiss it as, oh, he's going to be a third-string quarterback and just get cut, which is what I've seen out on the message boards here today, I don't buy it. This guy, is he going to have any fantasy value? No. He'll probably have two games where he'll do something crazy and a bunch of people run out and pick him up. He's going to have no fantasy value for the purposes of what we do here, which is something to watch as a football fan and as a guy who hates the Patriots like I do. It actually scares me a little bit.
Okay. I'm just not that thrilled with him. It's like I said, I think he's going to have some use, but there's nothing. I don't think he's going to make this impact and all of a sudden New England is this new and improved juggernaut.
Already a juggernaut. I don't think that matters. So let's move on from that, Rick. News you find much more interesting, as you stated before we went on the air, the Colts signing Ahmad Bradshaw to a one-year, $2 million deal.
Yeah, I find that a lot more interesting and a lot more fantasy impact, especially. Number one, people in early drafts and a lot of these mock drafts, number one, you can see Vic Ballard's stock just taking a big tumble.
Yeah, I believe I rattled off Ballard as one of my top sleepers going into this draft. That's a big hit to him.
Exactly. And Bradshaw's going to make an impact on a team right there. His foot stays healthy. and which you don't know, obviously, but he's still a 1,000-yard rusher. And, you know, he's close to 5 yards a carry even last year, and it wasn't that great of a year last year. So I think definitely he's going to make an impact. Now they have a good, solid backup in Vic Bowden.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I see that being a tandem. And Bradshaw has always succeeded in a tandem.
Sure.
With Brandon Jacobs, with the 7 guys named Stu they had there last year. That's where he puts up his biggest numbers. He's not a carry-the-load kind of guy with his propensity for injuries. So I think Ballard, you know, as a handcuff, definitely. I think if you draft one, you got to draft them both.
Yeah, if you're believing in the Indy running game, certainly. And if you're going to bank on one of those is an RB2 or something like that, you better have the handcuff there, because I wouldn't want to trust Bradshaw. Look, everybody always drafted Jacobs,
usually
as a handcuff, and if you could get him. But I think that's a much more impactful move right there than Tebow going to the Pats.
In terms of fantasy football, certainly, and in terms
Asylum, yeah. Fantasy football.
That too, there you go. You know, I do find it interesting. I think if he's healthy, and assuming he gets the number one reps, this guy's got fantasy value. Look, Andrew Luck, a real good out-of-the-play action. Proved after his rookie year, a legitimate star NFL quarterback already. A running game's going to be important in that offense. They've said as much in the offseason. They want to incorporate the running game in more. With a solid star, my mind just went blank there.
Running back,
that too.
Thank you.
No, play action quarterback.
Oh,
plays
okay.
Right into it. I think they're going to try to establish the run to set Andrew Luck up. So I think it's a big deal, and I think Bradshaw, if he stays healthy, and I always worry about a running back with foot issues, certainly, and he's been battling them for a couple of years now. If he can stay healthy, this guy, hey, what is he, Rick, a top-end number 3 running back going into drafts, and if he knew he was healthy in late August, you might consider him as a low-end 2 even.
Yeah, it's very possible. Yeah, I did like the thing with Irsay tweeting Drew Rosenhaus. You know that he must be having surgery. He's flat on his back, but he can still reach his hand into his pocket and dish out some serious coin.
Ooh, wow!
You know, for Bradshaw.
Serious coin for Bradshaw. It's pretty good money on a 1-year deal. So, Rick, the last little piece of news I have, I don't care about mini camps and OTAs and everything and what's happening there. And Willis McGahee saying he's going to be the starting running back in Denver. Of course, he's saying that. But Ben Roethlisberger has a minor knee surgery, a little meniscus cleanup in his right knee. I don't know how much value Roethlisberger has as a fantasy quarterback. So as a fantasy owner, number one, and as a Steeler fan, number two, any thoughts, any concerns, any worries with Ben Roethlisberger and his right knee?
No more than any other body part that's been broken and battered in his career. I think he's going to be just fine going into training camp.
Yeah,
and they said he's going to be fine. I think it was more or less just a little
tweak surgery
to get some pain out of there.
Yeah, just to clean up these guys. Hey, I want to go back to Bradshaw. I had one more point I completely whiffed on, shocker. But with the Colts signing Ahmad Bradshaw, I know he spent a lot of time in Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh was reported to be close to signing him a couple of times. Number one, it's a cheap organization, and they wouldn't put that kind of money out for an older guy with injury risk. But I find it interesting. It almost tells me, I'm not aware that they're talking to any other of these veteran running backs out on the market right now. Looking like Le'Veon Bell might be in place to maybe already have that job. Good reports coming out of minicamp. Again, I put no stock in what happens. It happens in minicamp. But just find it interesting. They seem to have backed off on trying to sign this veteran running back, and Le'Veon Bell appears he may get a shot at those first-team reps for the Steelers. It's interesting. I think he could have some value going into this season.
Oh, I think so. Some of the drafts that I've been looking at, he's got a pretty solid draft position right now.
Yeah.
And I think as long as he keeps showing what it takes, I mean, look, they got Dwyer and Redmond and Baron Batch. He shows what he had in Michigan State. I think he's certainly going to be maybe a, you know, RB2 come fantasy time.
Probably by the time things shake out, you're probably looking at starting them in week one in a flex spot or even if you're waiting. But I think come mid-season, if he gets first-team reps, I think he has some success. All right, Rick, my favorite new segment we've been doing on the show lately, no question about it, and some fantastic news in this week's Asylum Fantasy Football Police Blotter. a slower buildup than I remember, Rick.
Yeah. I like the guy beating on a little bongo there.
Well,
that's
really
nice.
All right, Rick. Probably the greatest news story I've read in an awful long time. Chad Ochocinco in court today to be sentenced for, I believe he headbutted his wife, was it? His newlywed wife, if I recall.
Yeah. I think it was yesterday. I think it happened. Wasn't it or today? I can't even remember. I've seen so many stories.
I know.
It's
just too fun to let the details bog us down. But so he's in court for his sentencing, worked out a plea deal. He's going to get some, probably some counseling, some probation, whatever
right.
you get there.
Community service.
Judge says, which I found kind of odd, and we'll swing back to this, you have yourself a good attorney there, Mr. Johnson, from which Chad Johnson responds by patting said attorney on the backside. The judge, and we'll get back to her as well, I have some thoughts on her, freaks out, loses her mind, says he's not taking it serious, revokes the plea deal, and tosses Ochocinco in jail for 30 days. Just the most fantastic story I've ever seen. He's literally less than 2 minutes away from walking out of there a free man, and one little ass pat sends him right to jail for 30 days, where there may be a few more ass pats.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great story. It was a great film to watch. And
it was. If you have a chance, look it up. It's all over the interwebs, and you're going to need to see this.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And, you know, I don't know. It just deserts as far as I'm concerned. I thought it was great.
All right. Here's the problem. It was funny, and he tried to make the argument he wasn't trying to be – but no, it's what he does. Chad Johnson does shtick everywhere he goes. That's fine. But is that worth 30 days in jail? Now, two points on this judge. First of all, yeah, there's a good-looking young woman there. And if I'm going to get thrown in jail, I want it to be by somebody like her, something to take in with me, if you know what I mean, Rick. But number two, just had a hissy fit. That's all it was a hissy fit. And I don't like my judges having hissy fits. What are you hoping to gain? Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm getting all worked up now.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Like my dog.
but come on. And she just grilled him for 10 minutes, which says
good.
To me she was just trying to make a statement.
Great.
It was a complete, what are you talking about?
Just exactly what you're talking about, only completely the opposite.
Look, there's going to come a day.
Here's a point.
All right.
Okay. Look, you're on trial.
Okay.
You're in court.
Yes.
You headbutted a young woman.
That's true. That you probably shouldn't do that.
That is domestic abuse.
I agree.
Certainly not.
And I stand in strong opposition to that.
And it's certainly nothing to kid around about.
Okay.
Okay. Now, you're in court. Like you said, you're basically 2 minutes away from walking out of there.
Yeah.
And this is a judge that is a young female.
A good
kinda
looking
like,
young female with that.
Kind of like the person, the victim in the crime,
okay.
A young female. Okay?
Another good looking young female.
Now, she's, you know, did everything okay, you know, took the plea deal. This is what you're going to do. You got a certain amount of probation, blah, blah, blah. You know, you have to do, you know, go to counseling, and this, that, and the other.
Blah, blah.
Okay. You're a minute away from walking out of there a free person.
True.
Okay. Sorry, you just have to get back that. I'm just so cool and with it. I can do whatever I want.
God,
because I wish
this was a video podcast. If you just saw the dance move that my octogenarian partner here just did, it was fantastic. I'm sorry,
you know,
go ahead.
You know, he just can't control himself because he's Chad Ochocinco or whatever the hell he wants to call himself now. You know, I'm sorry, it's great. It's fantastic to me. You got to know, like Clint Eastwood says, a man's got to know his limitations. Well, guess what? Shtick don't go too far in court.
Now, hold on. If he had reached over and shaken, is it shaken or shook? I don't know. It doesn't matter. If he'd reach over and shake the hand of the attorney, would there have been this reaction?
No, but he didn't.
Patted him on the back.
He didn't, no.
So this woman is so uptight, she's so sexually frustrated.
No.
You know what, she might be anti-gay. Maybe she's that. She found
it as a
homosexual move.
Did you not hear, obviously you didn't hear because you don't listen to
That's
anything.
True.
You know, he had to do the old slap on the back shtick. in which everybody starts laughing in court.
Well, it was funny.
No,
come on.
It
was Broad needs
funny.
To lighten up is what
no,
it comes
it
down
wasn't
to.
Funny.
Like, get over yourself,
do,
honey.
Do
that's
it,
what I say.
Well, get over yourself, Chad. Do it after you're free.
Ah, come on.
Do it
was
after
fun.
You're free.
His entire life, he is celebrated by whacking another man on the hind end. That's what I think. It was just a habit. And this, again, attractive judge is real wound up, real tight, feeling real good about herself. And so I'm going to send Ocho Cinco to jail for 30 days so I can get my mug on TV and everybody, idiots like me, can say how attractive. I think she did it to get my attention. That's what I just decided, Rick.
I'm sure that's what it was.
That's exactly
yeah.
what it is. And she's got my attention. So congratulations, Your Honor. Call me anytime. What's the call-in number for the show? 646-478-4679. Give me a call there, sweet cheeks. I'm ready for you. So, Rick, the other story we have, I am really misogynistic today. If we had any female listeners, we'd get some letters and some tweets out of this. Number two, Pac-Man Jones at it again, Rick. Arrested the other night for hitting a woman at a Cincinnati bar, which seems to be pretty much par for the course for him. Apparently, she approaches him with a friend of hers. They ask for a picture. He tells them no. She throws a beer bottle at him, and he slapped her. So,
and hit him in the head, I guess.
Well, at what point do they give up on a guy? This kid's got so much talent, even still after all he's been through. And you hate to see it. Look, you never, for all the misogynistic things I just said, you never lay your hands on a woman, even if she does crack you in the head with a beer bottle. And the guy just got no self-control. He needs one of those handlers like Jerry Jones got Dez Bryant just to follow him around and keep him out of this situation is what I think needs to happen.
Exactly. There's no doubt about that. He's just not – I don't know. I don't know what his problem is. It's just a terrible attitude when it comes to that kind of stuff. You know, if you can't control your actions, then you shouldn't be – putting yourself in those situations.
Exactly. Stay at home. You can get hammered up at home. You got his kind of money, his kind of fame. You can have girls brought in. It'll be fine. Just stay away from the nightclubs. That's what I'd recommend.
Yeah, I agree. You know, so that was our little police blotter. Just see, it's going down a little bit.
Yeah, it's trickling down. It'll spike. It'll have its ebbs and flows as we go through the summer here, but probably the most exciting part of every summer to me.
Yeah. Anyway, well, I'll tell you what. We had an exciting summer, and we didn't even know it.
Well, we did.
Well, you know, the world.
Oh, okay, the world.
I think it was on June 1st, I think, is when it was held. But did you know that they held the 401st? The 401st. It wasn't consecutive because of the wars or whatnot, but it was the 401st championship of this.
Okay.
All right? I'm gonna read you a few things, you know, facts about it.
All right.
Okay.
I'm listening.
They have been held, these championships have been held in the village of Dover's Hill in Cotswolds for the last four centuries. I believe that
is that a country?
I believe it's in Ireland. One of those counties or whatever. The amount of skill required is questionable. Owning a pair of steel toe boots will probably make you a favorite.
Oh, okay.
All right. Contestants stuff their pants with hay.
Okay.
Okay. People,
you don't want to know where my mind just went.
People rarely make repeat appearances at the championships due to the brutal pain suffered during the bouts.
Oh, okay. So it's a...
Okay,
it's a,
now.
All right.
There's actually a professional association.
Oh, okay.
For this sport.
So we could play this sport because I had steel-toed shoes and access to hay. So
the world, the abbreviation for this,
okay,
is SCAB.
SCAB. Okay.
It's the Shin Kicking Association of Britain.
Wait a minute. Okay.
Okay. Now
so,
here. You can see I'm not
I
lying.
See it. Well, you were on their website.
These are the official rules from SCAB.
So wait, these dummies are just kicking each other in the shins. That's what you're telling me.
Competitors draw lots leading to a final bout. Okay?
Okay.
I mean, that's
so
obviously
it's a tournament format.
Equipment. Competitors normally wear trousers or tracksuits.
People don't say trousers.
And
enough.
May, well, these are the official rules.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And may cushion their shins by using straw.
Okay.
or other padding. They sometimes wear smocks or white shepherd's coats.
Okay.
Footwear is normally trainers or shoes. I don't
trainer.
Really know what a trainer
stupid,
is.
Stupid Europeans and their dumb words.
Stance. A competitor begins by holding his or her opponent by the shoulders with arms straight.
Okay. All right. I got it.
The aim is to weaken an opponent by kicking his or her shins. Once the legs have been weakened, a competitor may throw an opponent to the ground off balance over a leg, provided that the grasp of the shoulders is kept.
Okay, so you got to keep your hand on the shoulder.
An arbiter decides the fairness of a contest.
Well, what could be unfair about it? You're just kicking a dummy in the shins.
A contest is decided on the best of three throws.
Cool, so you got to go down three times.
Well,
or best two out of three.
Yeah.
All right.
And that's like two out of three falls in wrestling or whatever.
I got you.
Shins must be kicked before a throne can be achieved. Contact must be made.
Oh, solid contact, okay.
Now, part B of Rule 7, a throw is not valid unless the thrower is in the process of kicking and has 1 foot off the ground. If the arbiter deems that the kicker has made an intentional trip, the throw goes to the opponent.
Okay, so you can't leg whip. It's got to be
right onto
the shins. Okay,
exactly.
I'm with you.
If a kick is above the knee, the throw goes to the opponent. The first person to hit the ground loses the throw. Zach Warren is the 2013 shin kicking champion.
Do we have him on the show?
No, we don't have him.
All right. We were efforting him, I know. So what you're telling me, this is a professional sport. So do they do this every Sunday like we do the NFL?
No, it's once a year.
It's been going on for 400 years.
Yes.
These idiots.
And they do it in a certain type of Olympics. And they actually have like nettle eating contests and all.
They have what eating contests?
You know what nettles are?
No, I don't know what nettles are.
Well, you should.
Why would I know that?
Well, you go hunting and so forth.
Yeah.
Nettles are those plants with a little needle sticking out of them, you know, stinging nettles.
What the hell is wrong with these people? So they're kicking each other in the shins and eating thorn bushes. This is what you're telling me. And this is an athletic competition.
Exactly.
And you know what? I know Ireland, Great Britain, do they still hate each other? Isn't there a whole thing about potatoes or something?
I don't know.
I can't remember. But Roger Goodell can't wait to drag the entire NFL over to there 15 weeks out of the 17 a year. And this is what these idiots really like. Come on. What is this? That was kind of funny, kicking each other in the shins. But to call it a sport. And then to turn around, my shins are beat up and bleeding everywhere. And I'm going to eat a thorn bush. This is what you're telling me. What else is happening here? Are they putting firecrackers in their... Well, I can't say that on WSRU. But you get my point.
Hey, I just thought it'd be interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting.
All right. Well,
where do we go from there, Rick? Do you have anything else? I'm out. I'm wore out. Between the stocking caps and these clowns, this isn't a world I want to live in.
Well, I do have some interesting facts here.
Okay. Well, give me some interesting facts.
If you're really into
I'm
something.
Into, yeah,
I mean,
we got a half hour to kill, so throw whatever you got out there.
You're just not into football.
I'm not feeling it today.
I bring up Ahmad Bradshaw, and yet you want to talk about Tim Tebow.
He doesn't play football. It's an interesting story.
Yeah, but it's not as interesting as Ahmad Bradshaw, and certainly not as impactful.
If you walk down the streets and ask 100 people, who's Tim Tebow and who's Ahmad Bradshaw, it's going to be about 98 to 15. It's what we do. It's for the people, Rick, for the masses, for the millions and millions of fans of here of AsylumFantasyFootball.com, at Asylum Football on Twitter. Go ahead, Rick.
Do you know what a flamboyance is?
I can't say that on WSRU either. I'm having a rough day. What's a flamboyance, Rick?
It's a flock of flamingos.
No.
Look it up.
All right, that's a terrible fact. Next.
Hey, did you know that 2013 is the first year since 1987 that the year consists of four different digits?
Really? How's that possible? Hold on. First time since 87.
Well, obviously
so
not the 1990s.
89. Well, yeah, we did lose the whole 90s, huh?
Yeah.
And all of the first 10 years of the 2000.
Yeah.
All right, I guess it makes sense.
All right. I mean, I thought that was rather...
That's it. You got my attention with that one, Rick.
Butterflies can taste with their feet. All right.
Where did you find this crap?
Now, this is the one that I really think
they eat with their
awesome.
Feet, or they just taste with them.
They taste with
them. See, because that'd be terrible. You try a new food, you got to rub your foot on it, then you turn it back around and eat it. I'm not doing that. I'm
you're not a butterfly.
I don't like feet.
You don't have one of those promiscuous or whatever it's called.
What the hell is wrong
anyway,
with you
now this is the one that's really cool.
Okay.
In 1917, a letter that Winston Churchill wrote to Admiral John Fisher was the first recorded article.
Okay.
Of using OMG.
He used really? And that's what he meant by it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. So for all you texters, all you LOL and JKers out there.
Yeah.
What are you waving
Speaking
your finger
of
at
which,
me for?
You wanted to talk about three little letters that were sent to me.
Oh, yes, I forgot. This is a fun story. So let me pull up the tweeters here, Rick. Pad for me a little bit, because of course I can't find it. So for any new listeners out there, which you probably all are, because anybody who's heard the show once is never going to listen again. So anybody who's listening for the first time, Rick's, well, let's just say you're old, Rick. And so
I don't believe I'm old at all.
Well, you don't believe it because you can't remember how old you are at your age. So his first foray into social networking, as we call it here in the whatever century it is now.
You can't even talk in complete sentences. You're talking about me being old.
I'm stupid. You're old. There's a big difference. So Rick's first foray into social networking, Facebook was a gigantic flop, but seems to have taken to Twitter. He handles the Twitter for us quite well. And so he likes to like every other douche on Twitter. He likes to throw his little barbs out at everybody. And so he sent a tweet earlier last week that all he says is, "Here we go again. Isn't it sad when the best QB on the Jets was cut from the Jags and now retires?" So obviously in reference, Rick, to David Garrard, I suppose.
Yeah,
right? So,
obviously.
So apparently there's a young man out there, and I'm going to give him, in case he's listening to the show, I'm going to give his Twitter handle out there if you want to give him a follow and check him out. It's at JDW1313 on Twitter. I don't know. Are you supposed to do that? It's public, right? You can do that. So apparently he's a big Jags fan. Well, I know – or a big Jets fan, excuse me. I know what he meant, but there's the point of the story. So his reply was GFY unfollow. So I got to tell you, I have no idea this is going on. And Rick and I work for the same company, but in different locations is how we came to put this show together. And so we have IM, an IM feature, obviously. So we chat throughout the day about the show and about things going on. And then I get an IM from my octogenarian friend here that says, "Some guy just sent a tweet that said, GFY unfollow. What does that mean?" So I told him, and if you don't know what GFY is, look it up, but I think anybody listening to this show knows. So Rick's response says, "Oh, that makes more sense. I thought he meant," and tell him what you thought he meant, Rick.
"Yeah, I thought it meant good for you."
So my friend here couldn't understand why the guy would say good for you and then unfollow him. He turned his life upside down.
I just have an innocent mind, I guess. I don't know.
I guess our friend Ty Miller on Twitter also jumped on and helped Rick out. And Rick, again, was taken aback by what this young man said. So, so please, if you're on Twitter, at Asylum Football, hit us up. Rick's man in the Twitter 90% of the time. Throw all your LOLs and JKs out there and just watch his head explode. And we'll report back on this each week during the show.
Ah, good for you.
Good for you. God bless.
Yeah, God bless us, everyone.
All right, Rick. Well, let's move on. Let's do some. We're a half an hour in. We probably ought to talk about a little bit of football, huh?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of good football going on. And one thing that's going on right now, as we've been talking about in the last few shows, are the plethora of Help Maddie leagues out there that Fantasy Taz, Jim Day, has put together to help a darling little girl with diabetes. And we happen to be in one of them. It's the Help Maddie League 3. And there's a lot of, so-called, whatever, it's a fantasy community. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
And we got a pretty good draft going there. And we look at a lot of ADPs, but we're using this draft as a reference because we have the people right here. And it's following pretty true to the ADP right now and some interesting trends.
Yeah, no question about it. So I believe last week, obviously, we talked about the first, 11 of 12 picks and 13 out of 15 picks going to the running backs. That trend obviously continued in this. I think, Ludwig, we got about through the fourth or fifth round. I don't know if we talked about, Rick, I found interesting, last pick in the fourth round. Excuse me. No, that's wrong. I'm looking at it wrong. But what I'm struck by going through this, and I'm not going to just read through the names, but number one, the quarterback's dropping. I see Peyton Manning going with the 11th pick of the fifth round. So, again, that makes the argument. When we get into this other draft, you're going to see some quarterbacks went earlier. Wait on your quarterbacks, definitely. I see Larry Fitzgerald goes the second pick in the fourth round. Rick, I think that's an absolute steal. That's the first one I want to talk about. You get a legitimate – this is a guy we talked about in the third round. He spun around, made it into the fourth. This is a guy I really find interesting. You have even a competent quarterback, which I'm fairly confident in saying they at least have a competent quarterback in town. Well, give me a reason he isn't a top five wide receiver in the NFL again this year.
Yeah, I agree. We've talked about this before, and we saw what Carson Palmer did last year in Oakland, and he certainly didn't have Larry Fitzgerald. And I'm telling you, I'm a little more interested even more with Rashard Mendenhall there.
What is it with you and Mendenhall?
Well, the guy can do it. Now, he's a little bit of an airhead, but he's in a new city. You know, I think he's familiar with the offense. He's familiar with, I don't know if he's familiar with Wisenhunt per se. I think he might have been gone before Mendenhall got there. I can't remember.
They might have crossed over that rookie year.
I'm not real sure. But, you know, it's certainly not just going to a strange team and a whole completely strange system. And I think Mendenhall could thrive there because Palmer will wing it around.
Oh, yeah, no question about it.
And I just think that Mendenhall, I think he could have a decent year. I mean, he's certainly proven that he can do it. And in college, look, he can catch the ball out of the backfield, too. We know that.
Yeah. And if he's in the right offense where they utilize that, no question about it. Let's go through, Rick, and look at our team. We have Marshawn Lynch, Chris Johnson we got in the second round, White, Welker, that pick we made on the air last year. Unfortunately, coming back in the fifth, took Vic Ballard, a pick I was real happy with the Ahmad Bradshaw signing. I'm not near as comfortable with that. Danny Amendola in the sixth, Rick. I'm loving Amendola this year. Heard a few things that might be a little high for him. I think Ricky slides. He's not the slot guy that Welker was, but I really think he slides in and becomes a serious weapon for Tom Brady.
Yeah, you're really high on Amendola. I have a little few more misgivings about him than you do. I'm worried about his, using the air quotes here, fragility. He tends to get injured.
He's hurt a lot.
Certainly not soft by any means, but he had that broken clavicle last year that almost punctured his carotid artery, I believe it was. And, just certain bad breaks with him, you have me take pause. I think he's certainly in a good offense. And, you know, it's good. Time will tell. Does Tebow emerge now? Right. I mean, you seem to be high on this thing. Is he going to be catching passes?
A few, but you got Gronkowski, you got Hernandez, you got Amendola. You have some weapons there. So, again, I don't see Tebow having that big impact, and I don't see it affecting Amendola. What I like about Amendola there is he's my third wide receiver. It's a risk that high. Mm-hmm. It's a risk, but he's the third receiver. We're going to play a running back in the flex. So this is really a backup. This is really a bye week fill in. And then you turn around in the eighth round, Greg Jennings. Here's a guy who went in the late second, early third round for all of the last three or four years. Obviously, doesn't have Aaron Rodgers chucking the rock to him, but going to be the number one wide receiver in that Viking system. And he's a quality Pro Bowl type of wide receiver. You got him sitting down there at four. Give me one of those two. If one of them pans out, we're sitting pretty.
Yeah, and picking him up in the eighth round, I thought he was a steal just with, you know, potential. So,
yeah, no question about it.
Like him.
And then, Rick, in the 10th round, has there ever been a person in your life, Rick, who you can't stand? Drives you nuts.
Well, yeah, I deal with one every week.
Other than me, Because you choose. You open your door when I come.
Yeah, it's my fault. You're right.
So what I'm talking about is there's just a guy, maybe a guy at work, okay, can't stand the guy. Every time you go in the bathroom, he's in there. Every time you go in the break room, he's in there. And then you stop at the gas station on the way home, and that jerk's there. And no matter what you do, you can't get away from the guy. Well, Rick, I have a guy like that.
I know
and,
you do.
He's a certain running back, and if you've listened to the show before, and again, I would be shocked if we have any repeat listeners, but if you've listened to the show before, you're going to know what this means.
Did she play this song while you sat in the crippled seat?
Yes, she did. It was the encore, in fact, the last song. I might have bobbed my head a little bit, like this.
Oh, I'm sure you did.
But Rick, in the 10th round of...
Taylor, look at me!
In the 10th round, Rick, I couldn't help myself. There he sat, D'Angelo Williams, I draft, with the 4th pick of the 10th round.
Hey, you can't argue with that. 10th round... Are we going to play him? Probably not.
Yeah.
However, worst case scenario, you get a couple injuries. You know, I mean, he can play.
Here's what I remember, Rick. In 2008 and 2009, this guy was a top 10 draft pick, if not a top 5 draft pick in a lot of instances. The guy can get it done. In flashes, he's gotten it done recently when he's been terrible and earned this this terrible theme music here on our show. But it's 10th round. Look, everybody's trying to give me the Jay Stew stuff. Rick, I'm tired of it. He's banged up already. He's already out until camp, probably deep into camp.
Well, that's what brings D'Angelo his value, because Stewart will be hurt.
He's hurt already. They haven't done anything.
I know.
I think he got hurt putting his cleats on the first day of OTAs. It's what this guy. It's a shame. The kid's got talent. And every year, Rick, we did it last year. We had guests on week after week after week the whole way through the summer. And everybody told us, Jonathan Stewart, this is his year. This guy's going to emerge. We've got Cam Newton there. This offense is humming perfect for Stewart. Here we go again. It never fails.
Maybe you could even mention the fact, which actually brought up this horrible theme music, because you were the one to profess, I will never touch him again. I've never down on him nearly as bad as Stewart.
Never. Well, let's play the music in the background when we talk about this, since you keep bringing it up.
Is it a real long song?
It's pretty long,
oh,
yeah.
Lord.
But I'm telling you, I can't get away from him. That's the point.
Well, a 10th round is not a bad value. You gotta see this jerk. I mean, I can imagine. His daughter was probably embarrassed, and she's like 6.
I couldn't dance. I was on crutches, Rick. So I was just doing that chair dance, that white guy chair dance, you know, like this.
Yeah, kind of like Raymond. Everybody loves Raymond.
I've never seen. Does he have a chair dance? Well, we all have a chair
dance. Him trying to dance is like you.
Well, I'll tell you, but again, and everybody avoids him for good reason in the 10th round.
But let's get on with the trend here. Oh. I mean, you brought up a great point.
I agree with that.
Peyton Manning, 11th pick of the 5th round, you
yeah.
say?
Yeah, 11th pick of the 5th round.
You're essentially talking last half of the 5th round into the first half of the 6th round, probably, to get Peyton Manning. Why in the world would you draft Tom Brady in the 2nd round?
Yeah, yeah, and that pick was too early, and I kind of throw that one out.
But you see this. That's what I'm saying. I'm not bashing. We're not, you know, bashing anybody's pick. But that's what value drafting is. I mean, you know, to me, Tom Brady in the 2nd, and who's in the 5th for that team?
Let's see. The 5th round for that team, the Tom Brady team.
Yeah.
Julio Jones, it looks like.
Okay.
No, that can't be right. Yeah, James Jones, I bet you. It just says Jay Jones, I'm not sure.
Okay.
But
it could be Julio.
Back to your point, Rick. So Brady went in the 2nd. Let's throw that out. Then I'm trying to follow along here. Aaron Rodgers, the 3rd pick of the 3rd round. Maybe still a bit early for me to prove my point, but still, last year this guy went in the top 5 of the 1st round of a lot of drafts. Then you swing all the way down to the 6th pick of the 4th round before you see Drew Brees taken. And you see Cam Newton with the first pick of the fifth round. I find that interesting. I'm kind of buying all in on Cam Newton, too. I don't think I'd spend a fifth-round pick on him. And I don't think that's the value. That's where you're going to have to draft him if you want him in a lot of cases going forward. But I like the pick. It's a guy, he really intrigues me.
Yeah, but he's in the fifth round now. Now you're starting to get into
Right. Yeah, you've got your running back. You've got your receivers.
You can check out AsylumFantasyFootball.com. I got quarterback rankings up there. I got him number five right now. I still got the four horsemen, you can call them, Brady, Breeze, Rodgers, and Manning right now. Until somebody dethrones them, I'm going to keep them there. But I got Cam Newton right there to close five. You're getting into the fifth round. See, now you're starting to get some value.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. And then you swing by, Newton goes there. Then I'm just going to try and follow through here. Then Manning falls, like we talked about, at the end of the fifth. You swing back. You see Robert Griffin go in the third pick of the sixth. Russell Wilson, the fifth pick of the sixth. Matt Ryan, Rick, seventh pick of the sixth round. Now, again, don't draft Breeze, Brady, Rodgers in those first three rounds if you can get Matt Ryan in the middle of the sixth round.
Russell Wilson.
And if you look at that team, they've got LeSean McCoy, A.J. Green, Ridley, Bell, Antonio Brown. They put together basically their entire offense and still managed to come out with an easy top 10 quarterback.
Yeah.
After that, Colin Kaepernick goes. Yeah, I'm not a fan of Kaepernick, but prove me wrong, I guess is all I can say.
And we're talking about a run. I mean, that's what you essentially got.
Yeah, there was the first run. Then you swing down, you're getting Matt Stafford in the eighth, Tony Romo in the eighth. Rick, we talk about it all the time. Look, if you're a Cowboys fan, I get it. If you're a fantasy football player, Tony Romo will be
He's certainly a quality quarterback.
300-yard, two touchdown a game, every week kind of guy. You can just plug it in. You can count on him. For purposes of fantasy football only, love Tony Romo. Now we're in the ninth, and you see Eli going. You see Andrew Luck going. The just value the whole way down. We take Ben Roethlisberger as our quarterback the 11th round. We waited till the 11th round. I'll be fine with Ben Roethlisberger. He's going to be a 200.
And I believe we supplemented it with Andy Dalton as well.
So play some matchups, see who shakes out. Obviously, Roethlisberger injury prone. But these are the guys you're picking up in the 7th, 8th, and 9th round. The trend continues. Again, monitor it. Actually, the second draft when we get to it, Rick, we're going to see the quarterbacks creeping up a little bit. That's what you're going to want to watch as you get into August when you actually start drafting. I think these guys, and we've had some guests on say that, you're going to see them start creeping up when you're doing it just with your guys at work. Look, the guys we're drafting with now, this is what they do. This is what we do. We do this a lot. But at that point, though, I think the point's even more important there, and we'll definitely talk about that come August. Wait. Go ahead and let them have that run early. Stack up your running back and your receiver position. Go ahead and grab yourself Matt Ryan later. Go ahead and grab Matt Stafford in the ninth or in the eighth round. You'll be just fine.
And that's what that's another point well taken. When you start getting into some of your leagues at home and so forth, a lot of these guys are going to be moving up a couple of rounds.
Easily.
Just like
you
said, the wide receivers will. The quarterbacks will. And there's going to be more running backs available later. Such isn't the case right now in ours. However, I still think the basic rules of drafting your running backs early and often are still there. They may not dry up as quick in your league at home. But I'll tell you what, if you have three quality running backs, which is one reason we picked Ballard. We were thinking, okay, at least he's a starting running back on a pretty good offense. Yeah, they turned around and they signed Bradshaw. Yeah. A little egg on our face there.
Yeah, well, that's why you don't do your actual draft in,
exactly.
in May and June. So
right.
You're going to have some of this with your early draft. So going through, Rick, just looking for the value, and I think that's where your value is. You start talking about you're trying to get your value picks in rounds 8, 9, and 10. You're getting quarterbacks there. Well, another one I find interesting, Rick, Jeremy Maclin falls all the way to the 8th round. This is a fourth round kind of guy last year. A guy with the potential to put up number one fantasy wide receiver numbers. He had a down year last year. Getting Jeremy Maclin in the middle of the 8th round is pretty solid.
That's one thing as a fantasy player, if you have a long memory as opposed to a short memory, which most players do.
Yeah.
Fantasy players do. You can get some extra value late in round. Look at Eli. Hey, this guy's a potential 5,000-yard passer.
It's year to year with him.
He had a bad year last year. and he could easily bounce back to 4,900 yards instead of 3,900 yards.
Mm-hmm. A guy, one of my sleepers, Emmanuel Sanders, falling in the 12th round, Rick. I'm telling you, he's going to be easily a number three wide receiver caliber guy if he doesn't slip up into a, I don't want to call him a low end too. I'm not ready to declare that
yet. Okay, here's a question.
All right.
How much value does Plax hold?
To me, none.
Really?
Really none.
The guy's experience, he's got chemistry with Ben. He's tall.
Yeah.
He can still get up and get it. End zone especially.
That's where he gets my attention.
He's crafty. Attention. He's the guy. They're going to have to stretch the field with somebody, which is going to leave very few people underneath.
Is he the guy coming across the middle, though? I don't think he's the deep threat he once was.
No.
But, you know, his first couple years in Pittsburgh where they just run as fast as you can and we'll get it to you with your size and just throw up the jump ball. Don't think he has that speed anymore. I think he's valuable to the Steelers in the red zone. I just don't see a lot of fantasy value there is sort of where I'm at with that. As a receiver in that offense, as a weapon for Ben, especially in the red zone where the Steelers have struggled the last couple years in the red zone, I think he has a lot of value for them. I just don't think he gets enough touches to be fantasy relevant whatsoever.
It could be. I'm hoping, to be honest with you, not even really so much from a fantasy perspective, I am hoping that while he spent some time with them last year getting through training camp and everything, he's actually much more effective because he adds an extra dimension.
He does.
That they haven't had since they had him before.
And that's
really
the size Roethlisberger's been
right.
Screaming at since
exactly.
Screaming for, since he left. He's wanted that big guy. They brought in, what was that kid's name?
Lyman
Sweet,
who
never worked out. Yeah. So that's the kind of guy Ben wants. It could be injuries. Maybe they have a hookup. I just don't know. Missing the time that he did. He was there the better part of the year last year. They never really worked him in. Maybe with a full offseason. I think for the Steelers, no question about it, an excellent benefit for them. I just don't know how fantasy relevant he is. So, Rick, we're running out of time, and I think it's more interesting for anybody listening to look at the top of drafts. So and this is the what was the name of this league? The Fantasy Football Beast House Crew League. I don't know if that's exactly what they called it. Threw five picks in the third round. First round, Rick, goes just the way almost all of them are. You have Adrian Peterson, number one overall. Arian Foster goes to a guy who's dropped for us a little bit, and Rick made your day. We were sitting at three. I think it's the first draft we've done all year. We weren't drafting ninth. That seems to be the spot we get locked into time after time. But Jamaal Charles falls to the three, the guy you have at number one, the guy I have no argument to not be number one. So you got to be happy getting him there at three.
Oh, definitely. Certainly one of my holy trinity of running backs this year. And, you know, true to form, all three of them actually went first in this one. I think you have Ray Rice is part of yours.
Yeah, I still do.
And I got him a close four. It's hard to take him out, but I have to throw Charles and Peterson in there, and I'm a little remiss to take Foster out just because of the touchdown the guy puts up.
Who he is, he just does it week after week. And then sort of the first surprise there, I don't know if you call it a surprise, it wouldn't have been last year, Megatron fourth overall. We've seen him slide into 7 to 10 in most of the drafts we're doing, and I think I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but we had a pretty long discussion on why I'm not going to draft Calvin Johnson this year anywhere in that first round.
That's true. However, if you're going to draft a receiver,
that's the one to do. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm not going to cast stones there. And we'll get into, as we start going through the second round, we'll swing back around to Rick and make that point again. Doug Martin, a guy we had in the finals, so basically the number two of our fantasy football tournament, March Madness tournament. Go back on the website, asylumfantasyfootball.com, and check that out. Doug Martin, a guy I think maybe number two, definitely number three behind Peterson, falls to the fifth pick, which I think is excellent value there. C.J. Spiller, again, we always say he's where it breaks, and C.J. Spiller went a little later this time, sixth. So we talked a lot about, we've seen him going three and four. If you're sitting six, Rick, are you comfortable with him there?
I'm not real sure. I mean, you look at that draft board, who comes after?
Then it goes
yeah.
Trent Richardson, Ray Rice, LeSean McCoy,
Ray
Marshawn
Rice.
Lynch.
Man, I mean, I have to take Ray Rice over Spiller for the simple reason he's the guy.
Yeah.
There's no Fred Jackson.
And he could catch 80 balls.
He could catch 80 balls, and I haven't seen Ray Rice injured yet.
Yeah, that's true, too. He's
and
always
so,
healthy.
And we talked about this before. You brought up the point last week that people are concerned that Ray Rice is not being utilized. I countered with the fact that you put his stats together in a PPR, he's a top five scoring running back.
Yeah.
And he had an off year.
Yeah, it was considered a down year where he's
to
dropped.
Put him below Spiller, I think, is foolish until it's proven wrong.
Now, look, again, I'm going to grant you, talent-wise, if properly utilized, C.J. Spiller could end up this year being the number one overall running back. If he stays healthy and if he gets 20 to 30 touches a game, not could, he will be if he stays healthy and gets 20 to 30 catches a year. We got the Fred Jackson factor. He's small. The way he plays, he gets banged up. That's where the risk comes in.
New quarterback.
Yeah, bad team, bad offense. So then you go Richardson, Rice, McCoy, pretty standard. Again, Rice, McCoy, 8 and 9. Marshawn Lynch, a guy, because we picked at 9 over and over again. We haven't had the good fortune of McCoy falling to us. That's sort of where Calvin Johnson's making some decisions on what you're going to end up with in the first round.
Right.
Alfred Morris at 11, sort of where he ends up going a lot.
Yeah, he's usually right at the end of the first round about every draft.
Yeah, we've talked about him. A.J. Green sneaks up to 12. Forte, first pick of the second round. Rick, there's another one that makes me nervous. It really does.
Yeah, and we've covered him a few times in the offseason here just with some of his stats and you know, maybe some yellow flags going up. Look, the guy's got talent. Chicago has an offense that can score points. I don't know. He just seems to be balling a little bit year after year. And does he have the potential to be a top-notch RB1?
He's done it.
Yeah,
he has. But once, really, he's done it once.
Who comes after him?
Then we go Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant. So interesting there, Dez Bryant, the third receiver taken. I have a hard time arguing against it, although we'll get to a guy I think you'd argue is the third, if not higher than that.
He'd be my second, the guy you're thinking of.
Yeah, Chris Johnson with the third pick in the second round, sort of where we've been getting him as well. I think good value for Chris Johnson. Steven Jackson, a guy I'm real high on, heading out to Atlanta, fourth pick. Then Brandon Marshall, fifth pick of the second round. I know a guy you have, and the numbers paying out, probably the number two guy coming out of last year. You was high on him again this year?
Yes, I am. I think that him and Cutler just have great chemistry. They've proven it more than once, and you know, there's just no reason not to take Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, no question about it. And following up, that's at Beast House Cruise team, following up Ray Rice with Brandon Marshall. You got yourself a nice little nucleus there.
Yeah.
Moving on, Julio Jones, you're right in there as we get into that receiver run. Jimmy Graham, if you're treating him like a receiver, I guess I can live with it, but we've talked about that a lot. Demaryius Thomas, early in the late in the second round, sort of an interesting pick. I do like Thomas. I just worry about what the distribution is going to look like there. Then a big surprise, Rick, I'm sort of skipping ahead. Darren McFadden, the ninth pick of the second round. We beat that one to death, but definitely not a second rounder for me.
No, I think that's too early for McFadden in my book because you're getting him as an RB2.
Yeah.
I do not want him for an RB2.
Look, he's got the skills to be an RB. We've had this conversation over and over again. Mm-hmm. He's just going to have to prove me wrong, and I'll just have to eat it this year. And, Rick, the last thing, and I know we're about at, well, we'll run over a little bit because I want to get the whole way through this round. There was some interesting things going on. 10th pick of the second round, Rick, you draft for us DeMarco Murray, a guy I got to tell you, Rick, I'm completely out. I'm just done with DeMarco Murray.
I know
I'm
you are. However,
done.
However, we were talking, that was a 10th pick of the second round. If you listen to last week's show, which I did today because I swore that you said that.
I never listened to our show.
I know. But I swore that you had said it, and you did. If I'm at the end of the second round, the 10th, 11th, 12th pick, I'll take DeMarco Murray every time.
Well, I mean, those people listening, I ain't going to do it. You dummies go ahead and do it. And you're one of the dummies, apparently.
No, I'm not a dummy because I think that's a good value for him.
I don't trust him, Rick. Here's a guy I got as my number two last year in so many drafts and thought was a steal. It could have been a down year. My problem with DeMarco Murray, Rick, I really have 7 or 8 legitimate games that I'm basing all of this draft value on. He just hasn't done it for me. He hasn't done it over any period of time. He can't stay healthy. He just disappears. That Cowboys offense is a mess. He just makes me nervous. Where we got him, it certainly wasn't a stretch. If it pans out, we're sitting real pretty with Charles and Murray. But then, Rick, in this draft, and here we go. You know, we talk about these guys, Breeze falling to the fourth round, Rodgers to the third. 11th and 12th of the second round, Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees go. I think this is more likely what you're going to see come August. And again, I'm going to recommend for me what I'm going to do, not just what I'm going to recommend for you. I think I just told people that I'm telling them to do crap I would never do, which is probably going to be bad for ratings. Okay, there goes Rodgers and Breeze. So now you're sitting, you got Peterson and Foster, Jones, Drew, Ridley, and those quarterbacks. Sounds nice. It really does. Well, we're waiting a long time to get back to the fourth round before you're hitting receivers. We've already had a run of the big name guys, and you're getting into about 15 guys named Mo as receivers when you come back. I would rather either get my second. It doesn't really matter when you're at the turn there if you go your running back or receiver in which order, the second or third round.
All right.
But those are the positions I'm shoring up there, and go ahead and give me Matt Ryan and Peyton Manning in the fifth and sixth rounds.
Yeah. And, well, like you said, this is how the trend's going to start going.
It's going to come up.
These guys are going to come up. And when we sit here and say, well, you know, it's much better value to get Peyton Manning in the seventh round, well, obviously it is. Just keep your eye on things. If they start moving up, then you better plug Peyton Manning in, like we're saying, at the fifth.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
I mean, use your head, but you can still get these guys much later, and you can still shore up your receiving core or your running back stable before you even get a quarterback,
and you
will get a quality quarterback.
Yeah, you're still going to have a good enough quarterback to win a top-notch guy, a 300-yard-a-game, a 4,000 to 5,000-yard guy. It's just the trend in the league. I think there's enough separation at this point between Breeze and Rodgers down to your Matt Ryans, Cam Newtons, even down to Andrew Luck in some cases. The numbers are so similar compared to the drop-off between taking the receiver or the running back you could have gotten that position and waiting the next round coming back. So, Rick, we have already run over time spilling into Kellogg's comments again, so we better go ahead and get out of here while we still can.
Yes, indeed, and we appreciate everyone that listened.
Ooh. Wow, that come in loud.
Boy, it sure did.
Decided to switch it up and didn't have it potted up right, apparently. That sounds better. Quit staring at me. You're supposed to talk now.
I'm just watching you magically work these buttons here.
I'm telling you, I'm an engineer at heart. So
yeah.
That's it. Thank you for joining us at the Asylum Fantasy Football Show on the Tuesday Night Blitz. We will, God willing, be back next week unless something happens to Rick. It's touch and go at any time. In the meantime, check us out, AsylumFantasyFootball.com, at Asylum Football on Twitter, AsylumFootball@gmail.com, and check us out, all you locals, on 88.1 FM WSRU, the voice of the rock. Until next time, we'll see you.
We are Flieger and Briggs. Take care.
Cause baby, you were calling me.